You're listening to episode 68 of CCP, the Caleb and Kathy podcast, also known as...
Contempt Captain Pontificates.
Very good. I'm Captain Winslow, replacing Caleb this week.
That's okay. I don't want you here. Go away.
Okay, bye.
I kicked Captain Winslow out. Caleb is back, everybody. No need to worry. So this week, we watched the A24 film The Lighthouse. It is available for streaming on Amazon Prime, if you have that. Should we just get into some background?
We should.
Okay. So, as I said, the movie was distributed by A24, who's like a pretty big, well-known indie studio.
They did Uncut big, Gems.
But still indie. Yeah, Uncut Gems, Get Out, I think. Like, a lot of, like, really popular indie movies.
Yeah.
They do. So, the budget was $4 million. It made $18 million at box office. It was released in 2019 in theaters, and it was directed by Robert Eggers. And I will go to you, Cass, for the rest of the background.
Okay. The runtime was 1 hour 50 minutes, which is a little long. The setting is in a lighthouse on a remote island somewhere in New England.
Yeah. Did they say specifically?
No.
It was definitely like U.S., I feel like, because Robert Pattinson's character keeps talking about how he's from Canada.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like they're in...
And it's in the late 19th century.
Okay, interesting.
The characters are Thomas, who is played by Willem Dafoe.
Thomas Wake, I think he says his last name at like one point.
And then Ephraim, who is played by Robert Pattinson.
Ephraim Winslow.
A.K.A. Edward Cullen. A.K.A. Cedric Diggory.
No. I'll allow Cedric Diggory, but no.
Well, I do have one Edward...
Edward moment later?
Yeah, so... Okay.
We'll get to that once we get to that, I suppose. So, The Lighthouse is loosely based on a story from Edgar Allan Poe, and I say loosely because this was his last story he ever wrote before he died. I believe it said it came out in 1849, and it was only anywhere from 2 to 4 pages. We read it. You could see, like, some semblance of where the story was coming from, I guess. It is a guy who, like, goes to work at a lighthouse.
Yeah.
So.
Who is alone. There's a dog mentioning.
Did you take notes on me reading it?
A possible man accompanies him.
Wow, you took that many notes just on me reading that short thing?
Dang. There was a seagull mentioned. And there was chalk used for the lighthouse.
Well done. So yeah, if you want some background, you can read it. It's online. It's pretty short.
It doesn't make any sense. Don't read it. It's a waste of time.
Dang, okay.
I'm sorry. Did you get anything from it?
I kind of like reading like those old style and like shorter stories.
Oh, I forget you're a classic man.
I'm a classic man.
Mm-hmm. Not like a classic man, like a classics man.
There you go. Anyways, so that's the background. We discussed the two main players. It's pretty much those two the entire movie.
Yeah.
Living in this lighthouse. So my one sentence synopsis I wrote this time is, two men are working at a lighthouse and go completely insane. Pretty accurate?
I think you summed it up.
Yeah, so without any further ado...
Are we doing spoilers?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Then let's get
into
it.
You good with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so where should we begin? Let's begin from the beginning. I guess a bit of background as well here.
Mm.
This movie is shot in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Also, oddly enough, it's like... You've heard of widescreen, right? Let me show you tall screen.
Yeah.
This movie is shot in like 4x3. Yeah. So before we had, you know, HDTVs that were rectangular, they were all like squares, which is called 4x3. Now everything's shot in like 16x9.
This guy did his research out here. Well, what's happening?
Mainly just know it from like playing video games and stuff. But yeah. Anyways, it's like a square in the middle of the screen. So be prepared for that. I think an artistic choice.
Oh, definitely.
And yeah, it's black and white. Pretty, like, grainily shot.
Grainy, yeah.
But I do think the black and white gives it a cool aesthetic, like, when, you know, characters, like, bleeding and it looks like black, like, it's... So this is a... I think it was listed as, like, a psychological horror movie.
Okay. Would or you, thriller. I think it was thriller.
Okay. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah. It wasn't as, like, violent as I thought it was going to be, or, like...
Really?
It wasn't very...
Towards the end a little bit, maybe, though?
Yeah. It wasn't, like... I didn't think it was a horror movie.
It wasn't, like, a slasher movie or anything.
Yeah.
Like
it yeah. was... But...
That's why the psychological...
Yeah. Psychological thriller. Yeah, okay. I guess I agree with that, then.
Okay.
I think I agree. I didn't like the black and white, though.
Yeah.
With black and white, you can't really see stuff.
Yes, that was going to be my next point. It's also very dark. Like, yeah. a lot of scenes... I would recommend, if you're going to watch this movie, watch it at night. We started watching it at, like, 5 or 6, so there was still, like, light coming in through the blinds.
Yeah.
So it made it even harder to see. I tried to turn off all the lights in the apartment, but still, like, we don't have curtains or anything,
I mean, obviously that's, like, their choice. I just... And it does help with the mood, I guess.
I'd say it would be cool to see in a theater, because, you know, it's darked out, so you can probably see it a little better.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
But, yeah. Just let that be known. I would... unless you have, like, blackout curtains, you're probably going to want to watch this maybe at night, which we should have guessed, I guess, since it's, like, psychological thriller or horror, so usually you want to watch those movies at night, because that's how you get more spooked.
I don't want to be spooked.
Okay. That's why we did it, I guess. All right, so continuing with the actual story now. So, like you said, the characters were Thomas and Ephraim.
Ephraim. I wrote it the phonetic out.
Ephraim. Okay.
Yeah.
So Thomas and Ephraim.
Mm-hmm.
So Thomas is like the seasoned
keeper of the light.
Keeper of the light. He's like the boss of the
or
two of
the
them.
Or the wiki.
Oh, we'll get to that later. And Ephraim is like new at this. Yeah, yeah. And he's kind of his underling. He has to do all the grunt work. So they're there for 4 weeks on this island that just has a lighthouse. So, going into your... What do you know about lighthouses?
It's a great question, Caleb. Nothing.
I was thinking about this. I'm like, is the point of a lighthouse just so, like, boats don't wreck into, like, a little island?
I was thinking, like, well, clearly their horn means something and the light means something. Like, I think it's for boats.
No, I know it's for boats. But, alright, so showing our stupidity here, we don't know a whole lot about lighthouses. That was my one question.
Don't call me stupid!
I said R, so me too. Just about lighthouses.
We're from Kansas and Missouri.
We don't know anything about lighthouses.
I frankly think they're less cute and more annoying now that I've seen this movie.
That was going to be my question. Have you ever been to or seen a lighthouse in person?
I don't think so.
I didn't know because you have family on the East Coast, so maybe
once, but it
didn't leave an impression.
I don't remember it.
Okay. Yeah, I have not either.
But it is something that's like a coastal city, specifically East Coast, maybe Northwest Coast.
So I think it's a thing to like let the ships know where the shore is,
mm-hmm.
so they don't wreck into it when they're like coming into port and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a little research beforehand.
Wow.
Very briefly of like, so no lighthouses are manned anymore, it sounds like. They're all like automated.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
that's probably a good thing after seeing
so,
this movie.
So yeah, somebody,
they make you go cuckoo.
Somebody read this and, or saw this and, okay. So anyways, they're there for 4 weeks to run this lighthouse. Do you want to take over with some of the story? I don't want to just dominate, sorry.
What do you think the noise means, though? Like, do you think it means, like, tide?
The like,
the foghorn.
I didn't know if that was coming from... So they had one there, but I think the ships also have, like, foghorns to let them know. So I don't... Maybe if
but
they
there
see...
weren't other ships.
So maybe if
far
they...
far away. I'm sorry.
So maybe if they see a ship, they're supposed to sound that... So also, like, to let them know, hey, we're over here if you haven't seen the light, you know. Because sometimes it's, like, so foggy and misty that maybe the light can't escape. So maybe that's another system for them to alert ships.
I didn't know if it, like, always made that noise. I'm like, wow, this is really...
That would drive you crazy, I know.
Yeah.
It just did that, like,
clearly
on the hour.
Very loud.
Yeah.
All right. So, I'm going to talk for a brief moment about the intense music, especially at the beginning.
Yeah, I had a note of that as well.
Somewhat throughout, like...
Yeah, it was mainly at the beginning, I feel like, this creepy trying to... I feel like it was trying too hard to conjure something up.
Yeah, I don't know what... I mean, they were quiet for, like,
I'm trying to think of the movie. The musical swells is what I put. I'm not sure what you call it, you know?
Oh,
that, like,
yeah.
Intense. It's, like, building to something, but then nothing happens.
Crescendo.
Ah, look at you. You took music.
Yeah. It's, like, deeply within me. Yeah, I guess it makes sense that they wouldn't have any music with, like, words or anything. It's like an old timey.
Well, we have words with music. They sing their...
They're like sailor songs.
The shanties and whatnot.
Okay,
yeah.
But besides that, I'm like, oh boy. That, when I was settling in to watch this, that's, oh boy, like, this is the kind of movie I'm getting myself into.
Yeah, this was a different kind of indie movie, one that we have not done yet. I mean, yeah. We've had a black and white in Francis Ha, but this was definitely something we have not, and definitely a detour from last week.
Definitely.
A little different.
Very different. I can't, I don't know of any similar similarities.
So, basically, they're here for 4 weeks, and it's their job to just run the lighthouse, make sure everything's working fine. And it seems like Ephraim,
mm-hmm.
gosh, every time, is, like, doing most of the work.
All the work.
Yeah, like, he has
Unless
to go shovel the coal.
Light related.
Yeah. Thomas seems to be very obsessed with the light. He just goes upstairs and locks the gate so that Ephraim can't get up there and, like, stares at the light.
Mm-hmm.
And this starts to drive Ephraim a little mad. Because he wants to see what the light's all about.
He read this manual that says at a certain point he's going to be allowed to get the key, but he never does.
Yeah.
Well, the end he does.
So, at first it seems to me like Thomas is the crazy one.
Yes.
And he's like...
Ephraim is, like, super indifferent.
Right, and he's, like, really getting on his case. He's like, did you clean these floors? You didn't swab these desks? He's like, I did it twice. And he's like, you'll do it 10 more times if I want you to, and you'll tear down the whole building and rebuild it. He's got a power trip.
I literally wrote that. I said, power trip much?
Yeah. And then he, like, makes him paint the lighthouse.
Oh, yeah, and then he falls. Poor guy.
He drops him pretty much.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And then we have our third character.
Yeah. The seagull.
The seagull.
I would say the seagull stole the show, especially in the beginning. Working his little...
And then the seagull meets his end, when Ephraim goes absolutely ham on the seagull.
Oh my god. I'm like, did that make you feel better? Do you feel better now? Like,
so he,
killing an innocent
so
bird.
What was happening? So they have, like, a water pump. And it was his job to, like, clean it out. And he had done that, and the water was fine. But then he saw it was, like, oily or something. So he goes out there, and there's, like, a seagull, like, mm-hmm. in the thing. Like, a dead one.
He keeps seeing seagulls.
Yeah, I think this is the beginning of Ephraim's madness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it Ephraim's madness. So he goes to look at this little pit where the water is pumped from, I guess. And he sees, like, a dead seagull in there. And then the other seagull that's been taunting him for the last... half hour of the movie or so, flies up, and then he starts slapping at it, and then mm-hmm. gets a hold of it, and he just whacks that thing against this metal drum, like, 50 times. It's like, oh my god.
Well, I think also, though, we need to point out that Thomas told him it's, like, bad luck.
Yeah, that's true. He did say
to
that.
To kill the seagulls.
Because he said it was the...
soul of sailors.
Yeah, the souls of sailors who had met their end at sea is what mm-hmm. the seagulls were. So he's like, leave them alone. Because earlier he kind of throws a rock at the seagull because it's in his way. Ephraim does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that...
They can be
that
annoying.
That could be seen as maybe a turning point if you believe that stuff. Like, oh, when he killed that seagull... now it's all downhill for Ephraim.
Yeah. Right after that, the wind changed.
All right. And he was all happy about it. But Thomas was like, boy, that was a weak northwest wind, you fool. Now they're going to come from the northeast and it's going to...
Yeah, but okay. that kind of, I was confused by that because, okay, clearly Thomas said there was a storm coming, and yet they still thought they were going home. Why did they think that?
Oh, you think because the storm was coming, the boat wasn't going to come?
Who would want to sail in that kind of weather? They were going to be stranded there. Like,
okay, let's get into that now. After the 4 weeks, they go out to the shore to wait for their boat, and it never comes.
And they were, like, just getting along.
Like, yeah. So the last night, they're like, hey, we'll be friends now, and let's tell stories about our past and mm-hmm. get drunk together.
Yeah.
Thomas finally lets Ephraim drink some of the alcohol.
Yeah.
And it seems like Thomas is putting in a good word for Ephraim. He's keeping this journal, you know, about
how he's doing.
Yeah, how he's doing, and then like the next lighthouse keeper who comes in will read it and stuff. The boat that is supposed to come and get them and trade off shift for two new guys to take over the lighthouse doesn't come. And then cut to, so now we get into unreliable narrator territory, I would say. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because you're kind of left to believe that they're the same, either the same person.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because they switch, he starts calling him Tommy. Ephraim. Ephraim completely loses his name.
No. Okay, so this is why it's tough to follow. Because it's unclear if he's just going mad and making this stuff up, or if, like, that's, he's revealing his actual past. Because I took it as, okay, first, before we get to that, Ephraim is shoveling coal, and then Thomas comes in there and is like, what are you doing? We gotta start rationing food, we're running out and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, it's only been one day. That's what Ephraim says. And then Thomas is like, it's been 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So you're like, whoa, has it been one day or 2 weeks? Which one of them is telling the truth here?
We don't know.
I
love that their rations were just alcohol.
We didn't really find that. They
there
dig
was
up
no
this,
food.
This buried booze in front of the lighthouse. But I don't know if they got any food. But anyways, so then, like you said, so they're telling their stories, and Ephraim tells this story. From what I remember,
mm-hmm.
He's like kind of a journeyman and has worked all these different jobs mm-hmm. till he's like wants to find one that he really likes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said
relatable.
And he said he worked this one job and this guy like fell to his death or something,
mm-hmm.
or was like hanging on a cliff and he could have helped him, but mm-hmm. he didn't. Mm-hmm. And that guy's name was Ephraim Winslow.
Mm.
So he assumed his identity when he died. His actual name is Thomas, and I forget what he said his last name was. So his actual name was Thomas. Did you write that down or no?
They both were named Thomas?
So I think that's what I thought, and you can give me your theory after this. Sorry.
Okay.
So yeah, my thought is like his name is actually Thomas, and he stole this guy's identity when he died. Because that's why he keeps, you know, later on seeing like flashbacks of that blonde-haired guy.
I think
that's the real Ephraim, who died, and he stole his identity.
What? I thought the blonde-haired guy was a younger version of Thomas.
Of
Willem Dafoe's character.
Oh.
Because I thought they were one person.
So you think
one
that,
person.
Okay, now give me your whole theory.
They're one person, and this is just, like, his stages of madness. Like, he's talking to himself.
So, like, a Fight Club situation or something?
I've never seen that movie.
Okay. So, yeah, this is just, like, he's been talking to himself the whole time, and he's actually the only person who's been there the whole time?
Yeah.
That's an interesting theory. I didn't think about that.
Or he could have killed Ephraim at some point. But something... There was a major shift.
No, I'm not trying to... You tell me your theory. Oh, so you think... So which one do you think is the real one, then, I guess? Thomas or Ephraim?
Thomas,
and you think he killed Ephraim at some point?
He either killed him, or Ephraim was never a thing.
Interesting.
Because of the way he's talking to him. He's, like, talking... Thomas is talking to Ephraim like they're the same person. Like, he's calling him Tommy, and...
I thought that was after he told him his name was Thomas.
They can't both have the same name. That's too confusing.
So maybe you're right, and I just completely missed that. That's an interesting theory.
Well, I completely missed the whole, like...
Well, maybe I misread it. I would say this is a point in the favor of the lighthouse of interpretability. And you would argue that it's lack of clarity?
I mean, I don't need everything to be spelled out in front of me. I love a good mystery. But this didn't feel like a mystery. And this just felt like this...
Muddled and confusing?
Yeah, like, I was totally following... Like, if you track my notes, I'm totally following this movie.
And we'll post an image of Kathy.
No, we will not. Until, like, the wind changed. And, like, right after when they can't leave. Uh-huh. Then I'm like, huh? I don't know what's going on. And then I pick up with the naked mermaid. I'm like, what's happening?
So that was one of my notes.
Can we talk about the mermaid?
We get mermaid genitalia in this movie. So another point in its favorite. No, I'm just kidding. I was just joking. So that's unique.
Okay, I don't understand. I have a lot of qualms with the whole mermaid stuff. Okay. Why does she have to be naked? Why does...
Well, I think... To answer that one first, I guess. So when they first arrive, Ephraim finds this little, like...
The figurine.
Whittled or glass or porcelain figurine, like in his bed of a mermaid that's topless. And I think
mermaids wear
sort of
swimsuits, according to Disney.
They wear, like, the shells over their...
Yeah.
Over their bosoms.
A little bikini top.
Well, this, I don't think in any sense would be a Disney movie ever.
Challenge accepted is what Disney's saying. We'll make it.
An animated lighthouse. We're doing them in reverse now. We're taking live action movies and we're making them animated.
Yeah. I didn't get, and then there was that, like, there was some trippy aspects of this. Like, I wonder what the feeling would be if, you were high watching this movie or on any kind of drugs.
I don't think I'd want that.
Because
you'd be freaking out, man.
Yeah, there would be like in addition to the mermaid, there was like this like sea urchin monster vibes
on octopus
top. Yeah, on top of the lighthouse
going on, and that was clearly figments of Ephraim's imagination.
Yeah,
I think so.
That wasn't real, obviously.
No, so I'm saying that plays into more that they're two different people in my mind.
I don't know.
Okay. I didn't know we were going to have this debate, and I like it. I didn't know we were going to have such different interpretations.
I think we interpret things differently. Not all the time, but with things that are not so clear, we go different directions.
Gotcha.
But, yeah. It was like at the end there, it was like flashing the sea urchin, then the blonde guy, who I'm still not sure who that guy was, and then the mermaid, and then all of a sudden Thomas is a dog.
Thomas is a dog. Oh yeah,
what was that about? What did that mean?
Well, earlier in the movie, I believe, he did call him a dog. Thomas called Ephraim a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
So I think he was, like, getting revenge there. I don't remember exactly where it was. He's like, I can't remember the exact part of the movie, but he, like, is insulting him and calls him a dog.
So he's like, ha, you're actually a dog. Where did the leash come from, though?
It was just a rope, I think, wasn't it, that he tied around his neck? Yeah, so, all right, so we're getting into pretty close to the end. So before we get to that, I just want to make sure we don't have any other notes.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of notes from the middle that we didn't talk about.
Oh, well, why were you jumping ahead to the dog then?
Because we were talking about the mermaid, and it made me think of the whole trippiness.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I also began to write in my notes, this movie is insane and very hard to follow. So I would agree with that sentiment. Let me see if I had anything else. Okay, so I got some weird words written down.
Me too!
Good. I think we probably have some that are the same, but let's just throw some out there that we got.
Let's alternate.
Okay, I'll take wiki.
Oh, that was one of mine.
So that is what Thomas is saying that Ephraim can be someday, a wiki. So it must be like a lighthouse person.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you're going to be a wiki. And he says it like 50 times or something.
I know. He's really intense. That's why I'm like, this guy is talking to himself. Maybe a younger version of himself.
Okay.
What's your word? Cistern.
Cistern, yeah.
Which I maybe is just the stern of the boat. But I didn't know.
I can't remember the exact context. I do remember that word being said.
Saying he needed to clean the cistern.
Okay. Well, if he needed to clean it, it probably wasn't on a boat because it was probably around the lighthouse somewhere.
I know, but it had stern in it, and that's boat term. Okay. Sorry.
Thanky.
Thanky? Yeah. No, thanky. That just means no thank you.
Thank you. You speak lighthouse.
Yeah, I do.
What do you got?
Grum.
I just like thanky because we had this. So I would also recommend, I know it's a little late jumping in here, putting the subtitles on.
Oh, I immediately, just as soon as he opened his mouth, I was like, nope, we're doing subtitles.
Which was probably 10 minutes in because the first
yeah.
was pretty quiet. True. But for clarity's sake, so you can understand what they're saying, but also, you know, you get the cool spelling of thanky and, you know, yeast and like Y apostrophe EST. And
yeah.
So that was a nice fun bit. Anyways.
Grum.
Grum?
Grum.
I don't remember that one.
It was towards the end, and I think it was just like a nonsense word, or like not a word that, I don't know.
How about when, I believe it was Ephraim just went, was it when they were drunk and singing, and he's just like, like saying like nonsense words, like what is...
This movie was a PSA for alcohol abuse, like, and physical abuse, and... emotional abuse, just abuse in general.
Okay.
Because
and to not go to lighthouses.
Yeah. Well, that was. Whoa! That was later. Okay. Anyway, but yeah, like, do not drink. Do not get involved in people that want to have power trips, because it's just gonna have you go insane. But yeah, like, they were so drunk a lot of this movie, and I'm like, do they ever stop drinking? Are they just drinking because they're alcoholics, or because there's nothing to do, or because there's literally only alcohol at one point?
Yeah.
It's so... That excuses it, though. We've
gotten away from our words. I still have a word.
I just... You're...
I'm very excited for this last phrase.
Okay.
I believe this is after they've gotten drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And they're... like, wrestling on the ground or something, and they're all covered in oil, and then Willem Dafoe just screams, "Monkey Pump!" Like, what the hell are you talking about?
I don't remember Monkey Pump.
You don't remember? Oh my gosh, this was what started the list. I'm like, I gotta write down some of these old words I should have been writing down, but Monkey Pump. He just screams out, "Monkey Pump!"
I don't know. I was having a hard time following this movie at certain points. Like, at certain points, fair. I was like, okay, I got this. I know exactly what's happening. And then other points, I'm like, these guys. Well, I think their drunkenness, like, helps skew the movie.
Yeah, so you can't tell, like, are they imagining things, or are they just drunk, or... Yeah, it's tough. It blurs those lines, literally and metaphorically.
Yeah.
All right, so I am ready to probably jump towards the end when you are, but you said you had more notes, so I'm going to let you get into
it. I do. I have some things to say. Okay. I really want to read, like, what the stage directions were for this movie.
It was all improv, actually.
Wow. Okay.
There was no script.
That actually explains a lot. Because it's just, like, so odd. I don't know. It's like, go stand over here. Make this weird face. Go stand over here. Oh, now sit down here. Like, I don't know. I wonder if there was also... Was the bird real? Like, was there stage direction for the bird?
I think that was an actual seagull. I don't think they killed an actual seagull, but...
Oh, yeah, that looks so fake. When they were just ringing it.
I don't know, it looked scarily real, but I don't think it was real.
Do you think he actually... Oh, this is... Sorry, that's an ending thing, so I won't say that. Moving on. Okay, so I'm like really, at the beginning of the movie, I am really feeling bad for Ephraim because he is doing like back-breaking labor. He's carrying like this bag thing, like, with his head. I'm like, that's insane. And he's, like, grunting a lot. There's a lot of grunting and moaning in this movie.
Yeah, for different reasons.
Yeah.
At different points.
Although, did you, like, think at one point they were gonna, like, I don't know.
They got pretty close to kissing there, didn't they?
Yeah. But yeah, I was feeling bad for him, and I'm like, leave it to the lighthouse to make me a team Edward, you know? Never been. All right, but
that was your one Edward.
Yeah, moment. That was my. Okay. Anyway, did you get the vibe that this movie was something you would watch in, like, an English class? Like,
I hadn't thought of that until you said it, and then I was like, maybe. I mean, I don't think this particular one, because it's not super school appropriate. It's rated R. It has nudity and
besides the mermaid, I feel like I could definitely have seen this in school.
When Ephraim's masturbating.
It's interpretive.
Is it?
I'm not sure.
I mean, it doesn't show his.
Yeah, it doesn't show it.
His member, but.
Oh, you do see his booty.
Yeah.
I thought I saw it, but I think it was something else.
It.
You know, it. Well, I think it, maybe not the whole movie, but like maybe segments of the movie, because it does. I can't believe I'm giving it a compliment. Ugh, it does a good job of, like, showing tone and mood and symbolism. Which are big things in English class, if you remember. But yeah, that didn't make me give it points, because I was like, I don't want to do an assignment right now, you know?
This is bringing me back to school. I thought you liked school, though.
I did like school. Okay, well, I like learning. I didn't like the other aspects of school, like the people.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I like my friends.
All right. Continue.
Okay. Ephraim / Robert Pattinson / Edward / Cedric.
Stop.
Has like a weird accent change.
Okay. Yes. This was my other note that I had. Robert Pattinson's accent seems to go in and out. I think throughout the movie. Like, I don't think he does a great job. I don't think that's, like, part of it, you know, like, him, you know, revealing his true identity. Maybe it is, but I feel like his accent went in and out. Whereas Willem Dafoe, on the other hand...
Was killing.
Killed it. That.
Yeah.
Whole time. He is a salty old sailor.
Yeah.
And you believe it.
Yeah. Well, I don't really... I'm sorry, Robert. I don't really think he's a great actor.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen any of the Twilight films. I don't know if
Harry
I've
Potter?
Seen...
Harry Potter?
I have seen him in Harry Potter, Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
But he was in that pretty briefly, you know? He's not, like, a main character. So I haven't seen a lot of his movies, but...
He's British, right?
Yes, I believe
so. So those are him in his natural accent. Okay, that's not true. Twilight. But
Harry Potter.
I don't know. I just... don't
yeah,
think
I'm glad you noticed that, too. On
yeah, I was like,
thing.
What is happening?
Maybe it was intentional and I'm wrong, like, because of my theory again.
Or my theory.
Of the stolen identity. So maybe he's slipping back into his actual accent and maybe he's from somewhere else, not Canada, where the Ephraim guy was from.
What a liar.
But
can't
it was...
Can't trust anyone.
But it was tough to tell if it was, like, intentional or not.
Yeah. Well, I'm giving that a knock. If I were grading him, I'd be like... Mm-mm, not consistent.
No Oscar for you, Mr. Ephraim.
Yeah, exactly. Or Mr. Pattinson. Okay. Oh! We have to talk about the naked lighthouse.
The naked lighthouse?
Yeah. When Willem Dafoe's character is naked and he's, like, lit up. You said you didn't notice this.
I must have been, like, looking away, taking notes.
He was like... standing, like, leaning towards, it was so freaking weird, towards Ephraim, and he is naked, and he is lit up, so he is the lighthouse. It was so brief. Yes, you missed it.
I feel like I need to go back and watch that clip now.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Very disturbing. Okay, so, also, Thomas is very obsessed with, like, I guess this is his, like, sailor self. But, like, Ephraim disrespecting him and Ephraim abandoning his post. He says that multiple times in the movie. So he's just, like, very fixated. So sometimes when he says stuff like that, or, like, when he, you know, gets on him about the floor or, like, doing his jobs, like, that made me think he wasn't all there.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, like, how at the beginning he seemed a little power trippy and fixated and a little not all there, like you said.
But it just seemed like he had either, like, multiple personalities or he was, like, partially cuckoo, partially sane, because he, like, had moments of just being human, like, talking about when he was married and having kids, and, like, there were moments where he was just, like, seemed, quote-unquote, normal. It wasn't consistent, though. So that's why I was like, he's not completely there, but by the end, they both seem gone.
Yeah.
All right, we can get into the end now.
One is really gone.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
All right, so, as Kathy said, they really get on each other's nerves and stuff, and then have a fight, and Ephraim kind of wins, I guess. And then he's like,
"Oh, Ephraim wins!"
kicking Thomas and saying, "Woof, woof, boy!" And then he starts, "Woof, woof."
That's with the whole dog.
And he walks him outside as a dog.
Buries him alive.
Buries him in a hole. Well, he's not completely buried, right? He still has his face uncovered.
Oh, that was so gross to watch. Like, how do you think they actually did that? I mean, that didn't look like fake.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Disgusting.
Willem Dafoe, again, deserves an Oscar for his great performance as this 19th century
pirate. I actually agree with you. He committed.
Wow. Right? Like, I believed it, that he has been on the sea his whole life.
Yeah.
Stuff.
He was believable, yeah.
So, anyways, so then he buries him. So, I guess, was that after he, like, chopped him with the axe?
No, he stabs him after, because he, like, emerges from this grave.
Yeah,
when comes back into the room.
That's what I'm trying to remember. How did he get out? I guess he
didn't show it. It just showed him, like, he appeared.
Yeah.
All dirtied up.
Oh, and he has the axe. And then he chops Ephraim's arm, but not off. He, like, hits him in the shoulder with it. And then Ephraim takes it from him. And then he...
I don't remember Ephraim getting chopped.
Yeah, that happens. Stop making that face. You don't believe me? I said I believe your weird lighthouse thing.
I'm so sorry. I just...
It happened.
I remember him stabbing Thomas.
No, he comes with the axe because Thomas, or Ephraim, I'm sorry, doesn't see him coming. So Thomas hits him with the axe, but then...
Some space out.
He like, oh, crap, and he takes the axe from him, and then he finishes off. Thomas stands no match against this guy physically. Like, he's older, and like when he's like walking up the stairs of the lighthouse, he's like really slow to get up them, like
versus Thomas or Ephraim is like buff.
Yeah, he's in pretty good shape and doing all this manual labor. Yeah. So
yeah, if anything, it's your fault, Thomas. This guy was gonna kill you.
You trained him for this.
Yeah.
So then
that's deep.
So then Ephraim kills Thomas. We're led to believe, right? I don't think it shows it, but he chops him up with the axe and stuff. Hits him a bunch of times. So then he takes his keys.
Yes.
And
this
then
is the moment.
He goes up the lighthouse, so now what he's been wanting, to finally see the lighthouse up top, the light directly.
Mm.
He opens it up, and it opens up, and he stares into it, and the credits, right?
No. Are you serious?
I forget what happened.
He, like, it's too much. And then he, like, the next thing you see is the seagulls eating his body.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry.
They, like, gouge his eyes out.
We watched this last night, and I had forgotten. You're right.
One night ago? It should be fresh in your mind. How can you forget that? That's crazy. It was, like, inferring that the entire movie. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
I'm not trying to yell at you. I'm just trying.
Yes, you are
impassioned.
Correct. So he must, because the next shot we see, you're correct. I'm sorry. He's, like, naked on the beach.
Yeah.
And his eyes are, like,
gone.
So I don't know if he got blinded by the light.
Either it might have been a combination.
Blinded by the light.
Yeah. Right. Blinded. That's it. That's all you can do. For free.
And then, yeah, seagulls are, like, pecking at his innards and, like, his intestines and presumably maybe his eyeballs.
Yeah, that's why you don't mess with a seagull. There are certain birds you just don't mess with. I would argue all birds.
Geese.
But geese, pigeons, seagulls, eagles. I wouldn't want to mess with an eagle. So those are some that come to mind.
What birds do you want to mess with?
But you don't want to mess with a peacock either.
Okay, but I asked what birds you do want to mess with.
I'm just... Mess with is a strong word. I just mean like...
Mess with is a strong word.
Well, I'm just saying like you're not going to get in a fight with a bird. I'm just saying these birds are going to like be aggressive.
Come back with a vengeance.
Birds like do not get the credit that... I don't know if they deserve, but that they... Well, deserve is the only word I can think of. Because they can be pretty...
They don't get enough credit.
Violent.
They don't get credit for their violence?
Mm-mm. Okay. People underestimate a bird.
And now credits. Am I right?
Okay, so here are the morals of the story.
Oh, okay. We got morals, folks.
Yeah. Never go to a lighthouse. And be nice to seagulls.
I think those are all words we can live by.
Ooh, I'm excited to get into final thoughts and ratings.
Rankings?
And ratings.
Ratings?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I rated it on Letterboxd.
Oh, I already saw.
okay. What did you rate it?
You didn't see? Mm-hmm. Well, we can get into that later. Final thoughts. What do you got?
Okay. I didn't like this movie because I felt like it was trying too hard in parts. It was trying very hard to be artsy. Now, with our discussion, maybe I judged it a little too harshly, and Willem Dafoe did do a really good job.
Agreed.
Like, without a doubt. But it's not a movie that I would be, like, shouting from the rooftops about, like, yeah. Everybody go watch The Lighthouse! Oh! You know?
Especially, I just made this connection now, in a time like now when everybody's stuck at home together. That's what this movie's about, being stuck with somebody.
Yeah, or stuck with yourself, unclear.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you would never do that to
no,
me.
No, that's... Why'd you...
You would never do that to me. Okay, I'm sorry. But yeah, I... didn't really like this movie. I can... Like we said, I can see some, like...
Positives.
Like, I really like the seagull and stuff like that. But... Nah. That's my final thought. Nah. Okay. You?
Yeah, it was definitely different than what I thought.
Yeah. Like, even though we watched the trailer, I still feel like it was different.
The only thing I remember from the trailer is, what?
What?
What? What? What? What?
And I was like, I don't want to watch this. And you were like, we're watching it.
What? Yeah, that's pretty much how it went. But I enjoyed it, but not as much as I thought I would.
Really? Interesting. Continue.
Yeah, I thought, as we've been talking about for the last 40 minutes or so, it had its good parts, you know, Willem Dafoe and, like...
The seagull.
The seagull, sure. And, you know, stuff that's open for interpretation. Like, that's cool when a movie can do that. Like, both of us watch it right next to each other at the same time and come out with two completely different thoughts of what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's cool and something to be said for that.
I agree, but I may have just missed something. Like, it may be me maybe just I did being too, dumb. Like, you know, it may have nothing to do with, like, credit to this movie. Continue. Okay.
Never mind, then.
No.
It was terrible. Just kidding.
Caleb. I'm just saying, I could have just not been smart enough for this movie.
Don't sell yourself so short.
Thanks.
What? I don't want you to say that. That's not a nice thing to say about yourself.
I know, positive self-talk. I'm just saying, like, maybe this movie just went over my head, and that's
I'm sure I missed a lot, too. There's parts that you were bringing up that I completely forgot, and the ending I completely botched 5 minutes ago, so don't worry about it. Like,
okay, continue.
There's no wrong or right way to watch or interpret a
That's
movie.
That's true.
But anyways, I enjoyed it. I thought it was very interesting and different from anything I had seen before.
Definitely different.
That being said, I don't think it'll be super high on my rankings either. Yeah. You know, like, I thought it was interesting and stuff, but again, as your sentiment, I won't go shouting from the rooftops. You gotta watch this. Maybe if you know somebody who would be into this, like, oh, this is a very this person movie.
I do think there are people that will like this right. movie.
But it's pretty niche.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. Again, the different interpretations of how to say the word. All right, I can't think of a better note to end on than that. So, let's get into the rankings. So, let me pull this up real quick. All right, our current rankings.
Mm-hmm.
We have 7 movies currently.
Okay.
Number 1, Parasite. Number 2, Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Number 3, Frances Ha. Number 4, High Fidelity. Number 5, Uncut Gems. Number 6, Troop Zero. Number 7, Dazed and Confused. Where are you slotting this?
Well, I told you at the end of the movie, I wanted to slot this last, but I don't know if you're going to agree with that.
So you're thinking 8 behind Dazed and Confused?
Yeah.
Okay. I honestly could see it going anywhere from 6 to 8, so I'm not super opposed.
I could put it in front of Troop Zero if you want.
Really?
Troop Zero is second to last, right?
Yeah.
I could put it there.
Okay. If... Yeah, I mean, I like this more than Troop Zero.
Wait, where were you wanting to put it?
I said 6 to 8. So it would be in front of Troop Zero. It would be 6.
You just, visibly hated that movie. I didn't visibly
hate it. I just didn't really enjoy it. I didn't think it... I didn't gain anything from its story being told. Whereas this, that was a story that I haven't seen told that's unique. So I feel like I gained something from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, points for uniqueness. We can put it in front of Troop Zero.
Wow, I did not think I was going to get that. Thank you, Kathy. So the new
rankings... You know what happens? Is that we talk about these movies and then my opinion changes. I'm like, wow, maybe there was something to it.
So you're okay with putting it there, though?
Yeah, I guess.
No, we
can put it there.
Okay.
But I do think this is a 2-star movie.
Okay.
And I stand by that.
And I rated it 3 stars. But I rated Troop Zero 2.5 stars, I think, or 2 stars or something. Anyways. Not to get into the Letterboxd here.
Okay.
So the new rankings are Parasite, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, Frances Ha, High Fidelity, Uncut Gems, The Lighthouse, Troop Zero, Dazed and Confused.
Wow, you really won on that. Congrats.
I know. You know, sometimes you go in here thinking you're going to lose, sometimes, and then you win.
Some metaphor
and sometimes
for life.
You think you're going to win, you lose. You know, that is life. All right, should we get into our next segment?
Lifehouse, if you will.
Lifehouse.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Step into the book nook.
Book nook, yeah.
So this last week, I read Brain on Fire by Susanna, and we were trying to figure out how to pronounce her last name. It's a toughie. Callahan?
Maybe. We don't
know. It's sort of like Callahan, but the H and the L are switched, kind of. So, anyways, so this is a memoir. She was she still is, right?
She's alive.
No, I didn't know if she still worked for the New York Post.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, she was a writer for the New York Post. Could still be. I can't remember. I'm sorry. And she has this... She starts getting sick, and she's not sure why.
Mm-hmm.
So the book goes through that journey of her being sick for,
a
year plus, probably. But, 3 or 4 months in the middle is just completely gone. She has no memory of it.
Yeah.
So she goes through, a psychotic state and ends up having this really rare disease that apparently...
It takes a lot of doctors to figure out what's wrong with her.
She goes to, NYU, and they have... She probably goes through a dozen different doctors who can't figure out what's wrong with her.
Yeah.
So she gets diagnosed, and it's a very long disease, hard to pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
But they're finding out, this is more common than they think. And, a lot of people who have been diagnosed with, schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
Schizophrenia?
Second.
Okay, yeah. Or multiple personalities and stuff like that. actually may have this disease that she has, and has just been misdiagnosed.
Yeah.
And now they're finding out ways to test for it.
Yeah.
And she wrote an article about it in the New York Post and then ended up writing this book. And, like, she's had a lot of people write to her, like, oh, thank you. We didn't know what was wrong with our child. And then we showed them your article and your book. And then, like, they were able to test for it and find out that was the case. And so, yeah, it's just a really, it's a really fascinating book of, like, somebody's helplessness. But then, like, at least a positive ending, you know, like, they got through it and figured
thank
out
what, God.
Yeah.
If it didn't have
it sounds like terrible, like nothing you would wish upon your worst enemy. Like she was like going through these psychotic states and having seizures.
But wasn't it so interesting how the book is written? Like how she takes like
Kathy has also read
conversations like with her family and her boyfriend that
like that's how she pieces it back together.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah.
It's just it's so
it's a very unique.
Like it's from her point of view, and she's going or she went through this. You know,
right?
It's not someone it's telling what happened.
Yeah,
like, it's happening.
It's a first person account, but like kind of through a third person because she doesn't remember some of it.
Yeah,
so it's a very unique, interesting way of telling that story.
Yeah, I recommended this book to you. I've been wanting
you to
read it.
And it's also a very quick read. It's only like a little over 200 pages. And
yeah.
A page turner.
Definitely. You're like, what is. You're like, you have no idea what's wrong with her.
Yeah. So, that, I mean, that's what keeps you going. Like, what is. What are we going to find out? What is. Because you know at the beginning, I think she kind of says, like, that she.
Had this.
I mean, she wrote the book, so I guess you know she's still alive.
Yes. And I think of that. You need that with those kind of books. You're like, if she's just going to die, I mean, I don't think I can get through this.
But yeah, I'd recommend it to anybody out there who likes memoirs or like, I don't know, medical mystery. Is that a genre?
Yeah.
And then there's also a Netflix movie with Chloe Grace Moretz. Is that who's in it?
I think so.
That we might watch.
Oh, we're watching it.
Okay,
I've been waiting for like 2 years for you to read this book and then watch the movie with
me.
I'm
sorry.
Thank you. All right.
What did you read?
I read an incredible book. I'm like low-key, but maybe not low-key, obsessed with this author now. Her name is Sally Rooney, and the book that I read was Normal People. So, it basically takes... I'm kind of a sucker for how it's, like, formatted. It takes place, like, over several years. So, it jumps... Like, each chapter is, like... It'll be, like, 5 months later, 3 weeks later. So, it's able to, like, cover... It covers the two characters, like, from their... I want to say, like, senior year? Yeah, senior year of high school to their senior year of college.
Okay.
So it's like an expansive amount of time. And it's like, excuse me, it's like them falling in and out of love with each other, kind of. It's
multiple perspectives, did you already say that?
Yeah. Okay. Each chapter is either the girl or Marianne or Connell, the guy.
Connell. That's an interesting name.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably even saying it wrong, but I... I don't know how else you would say it. Connell, maybe?
Colonel.
It's so good, though. Like, it's a hard book to describe, I'm now learning. Because I don't want to give too much away, but I also don't think there's, like... Because
this book has also been assigned to Caleb, so that we can watch the Hulu series.
I genuinely think you're going
to
like this
book. No, it's been on my to-read list as well, so...
Okay. Two most important, very important people have read this book prior to me. Obama? Like, the president guy? Obama?
The last good one.
And Alana, who our friend who I get a lot of, like, book recommendations from. So if they both... Our friend, I'm sorry, what?
No, just like, Obama, the president, and Alana, my friend.
I mean, I'm just trying to, like, say, like, it wasn't just Obama who read this book. I don't know if, because sometimes he reads, like, books that are, you know, tough. And so that wouldn't, like, motivate me. But, like, also Alana liked it. It's got a lot of accolades. pretty popular. And so then, immediately after, I was like, well, now I have to read her first book. So that's what I'm reading now.
So she only has the two, though?
Yeah.
So nice.
But she's on my radar now.
Yeah. You'll be looking out for her future releases.
Yeah.
Nice. Got a new favorite
and
author.
She's really young. And so,
plenty to write.
Well, yeah, she has, like, plenty of time, and she's still young. But, like, she's already this talented and this successful. So
cool.
It's really inspirational. Inspiring. Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, you should read it.
So those are some book recommendations for y'all.
Yeah, two really good books.
All right, so now let's go into what we're covering next week.
All right, next week we're watching the movie Mid-90s. It's available on Amazon Prime. I guess we're just watching a lot of Amazon Prime movies lately, but Netflix movies don't count.
They're not. They're not released by Amazon. They're just available on
Amazon. I know. I'm just saying, like, if people don't have Amazon, they are out of luck. But I think a lot of people do.
I guess that is 3 weeks in a row now.
A lot of people do. Because if you have Prime, you have it. It's right. Fine. I don't feel that bad.
Was Portrait of a Lady on Fire on Amazon, too?
No, it's on Hulu.
Okay, cool. Not 4 weeks.
It's fine. People find their ways. But this movie is Jonah Hill's...
directorial debut?
Yeah, this is like his... brainchild.
Yeah.
Love child. I don't know.
Love child.
I don't know. It's short, too. So I'm really pumped about that.
It's already got that working for it. All right, so...
I'm gonna learn a lot about skateboarding.
So no excuses not to watch it, everybody, because it's short. So look forward to that next week.
And then... that's all, right? That's all we got?
Those are all the segments. Hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. You want to take us out?
I do! Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next Sunday. I think you should give your loved ones a call.
And don't forget to send your mom your best wishes for Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day! I love you, Mom!
Happy Mother's Day to the moms out there. Love y'all. Bye!